So listen, you're on KPFK 90.7 FM, 818-985-5735. We're going to have call-ins in a couple of minutes, so I'm going to just tell you, we're going to talk about, not for the last time, I hope, but I want to talk about the victory that we want to have this Thursday at 9 o'clock at the MTA. You heard those students, those incredible students, by the way, talking about how, you know, you can hardly reach them because they've been pushed out in an illegal space for doing legal work. As we're going to go into the MTA this Thursday, if you've never been there, it's on the corner of Cesar Chavez and Vignes, sometimes it's called. It's right a little, if you pass Union Station, you go up to Cesar Chavez, you make a right, it's about one block, and you're going to walk in with basically liberal elected officials, Antonio Villaraigosa. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is on the board, 818-985-5735, start calling in. You're going to see Gloria Molina, the chair of the MTA board, Zev Yaroslavsky, a member of the board, Yvonne Brathwaite-Burke, a member of the board, Richard Katz, member of the board, and they're going to stand up there and say, at least there's going to be a proposal from the chair of the CEO of the MTA, Roger Snoble, I here propose that the daily pass be raised from $3 to $5 to $8. I hereby propose that the monthly pass be raised from $52 to $75 and then $120. I here propose that the student pass be raised, the disabled pass be raised, the elderly pass be raised. And you expect all these officials to say, that's ridiculous. No, we don't want to do that. And yet, even though this is a basically, quote, liberal board, you're going to feel repression there. I mean, well, you're also going to feel some action because we expect to have 350 people there rocking and rolling the room, and we're going to create counter pressure. But on the way over here, I was thinking about the idea of Herbert Marcuse during the 60s talked about repressive tolerance. And it was a theory that said that the United States was apparently tolerant, in which there was a lot of freedom to demonstrate, organize, but it was fundamentally repressive because in the end, you couldn't change society. Well, now we don't have repressive tolerance. We have repressive repression. There's no pretense of tolerance anymore. So the MTA is still an open space because the BRU has literally put its arms into the door of the bus, put its arms into the door of the trains and opened them up. If you've ever been on a subway where like the doors are closing on you, you like force them open by your very will. And we're going to go there and get the MTA to not raise the fare a penny, but rather to demand that they take the $52 fare and get it down to $42. So 818-985-5735, we're going to take a short break because a lot of you have to memorize this number, then you have to go to the phone and have to figure it out. So by the time you all figure it out, I'll be back here and we'll talk to y'all. Radio station has great music. This is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Front Lines, 818-985-5735. We want to take some call-ins to discuss two things you can talk about, two things only today. You can talk about the Watts Student Union, the tremendous job they're doing, any thoughts you have as a teacher, as a student, as a parent, about these three really brilliant young people that were just with us, Diamond Killian, Ana Lilia Landa, and Vicente Rosales. For me, it was a real pleasure hanging with them and interviewing them. And secondly, we'd like to talk about what you can do. Will you show up this Thursday at 8:30? You should get there at the corner of Vignes and Cesar Chavez, right a little bit north of Union Station, a little bit east. 818-985-5735. We have Frank from East L.A. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing good.
What are you thinking about?
Well, first, I just want to, you know, give a big, you know, support to the students who are under. I think that's great. I heard them speaking, and you're right. The level they're breaking stuff down is way sophisticated for high school students, but that's good. That's what you want to see in the youth today, and it just shows you can't believe all the stereotypes about youth. And another thing, I'm going to be out there on Thursday. I'm going to take the day off of work. I earn what is considered a living wage, but at the current bus prices, I'm still barely able to support to afford a bus pass at the end of the month. You know, we could afford with the gas prices, just one car for my family. I let my fiance use it for work and take my daughter to school, and I rely on the bus for my job and to go to school, to go to college at the same time. So any raise in that price, you know, that ain't possible. That can't happen because I'm not going to be able to afford that, you know.
Well, you know, Frank, I'll tell you that great you're taking the day off, and we want to get you in early so you get there around 8:30 because Francisco Portas, Manuel Criollo, Damon Azali, other organizers from the bus rides, you want to get this card in so you can testify. They let you testify for a minute. So you got to learn the 59-second revolutionary diatribe because they, like, cut you off, like, you know, they watch it, like, God forbid you get 61 seconds, you know. And yet, just one thing, I'll get back to you on this. One of the things that we're trying to explain to these folks is if you raise the bus fare, forget about the $75. This is why we want no raise and why we want to go down to $42. They don't get it that if they raise it just $5, which is 10%, by the way, a 10%, nobody's getting a 10% raise. Then if they raise it $5, a lot of families have 4, 5, 6 people using the bus pass. So that's now getting up to $30 a month or $360 a year. How can we explain to them that people don't have enough money today to live, let alone have a raise? How do we explain to wealthy elected officials who represent, unfortunately, more of the interest of the wealthy than the working class, that, as you just said, in my real life, I can't afford this?
Yeah, I think we could just do our best to plead our case, because honestly, you know, at the end of the day, there's two things that move them. That's money. That's the people who support them, the developers, and the people in the San Fernando Valley and in the West Side, which I had one of because I'm an organizer myself, and I've been into some debates with some of these politicians, you know. One of them who holds the 4 votes, and he personally said, if the people on the West Side and the people in the Valley and my developers don't support your issues, I'm sorry, but I can't take a stance on that. I'm like, whoa, you know who I'm talking about.
Yes,
you know?
I do, of course.
So yeah, we do our best to plead our case. You know, hopefully we show our strengths in numbers. We're all out there unified. You know, and we just got to let the chips fall where they may. Ultimately, we know what their agenda is, what they're pushing for, and we just got to show the strength in numbers. You never know what could happen when all the community comes together.
Absolutely. Frank, thank you so much. That was brilliantly argued. And I'll just add before we go to 818-985-5735, the next call. No, I won't add anything. That spoke for itself. Let's go to Linda in Pico Rivera. Linda, how are you? Welcome
Hello,
to Voices.
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to Voices from the Frontline. What's
you.
On your mind?
I just wanted to say I sympathize with people who are bus riders because I do work in Watts, and my responsibility at my job is to help people find employment, and they can't get to work with the regular bus rates, let alone with the hikes. But my question is, what was the purpose of what is the purpose for raising the rates?
Sure.
Because they wanted, what I understood, or maybe I didn't understand, was that the people, the workers, also want the bus operators and so on and so forth. They also want a pay raise. And with the cost of gas today, isn't it expensive now to operate the bus system?
Well, thank you very much. I mean, really good question. Let me break it down a little bit. First of all, this has nothing to do with the operators, but unfortunately the operators, the UTU, has done nothing to help the bus riders, which I'll get to in a minute. So let me just break it down for a minute.
Uh-huh.
The first thing is that the MTA has no problem making its budget, except that it's supposed to be a transit agency trying to come up with the fastest, least expensive, most efficient use of the money. The best way to do that is to have clean fuel compressed natural gas buses. But the MTA, as the other brother said, Frank from East LA, is obsessed with developers, contractors, and as a result, it started this fetish about rail lines. Rail lines cannot be afforded or built in Los Angeles because it's a 4,000 square mile county that we're working in with 10 million people in it. Rail costs $250 million a mile just to dig the tracks or to dig the tunnel. So when they build the blue line from Long Beach to Union Station, when they build the green line from Norwalk to El Segundo, every time they build a rail line, they're basically running up a credit card that they can't pay for. And then they go in and try to raise the bus fare to get bus riders to pay for the trains. Now, the drivers, we have supported the drivers every time they've gone on strike. And it's very, very hard for our members to support them. Imagine that, because our members, when they go on strike, we have no buses. And yet we consistently support them. And a lot of the drivers in the UTU are really great. They're very supportive of the bus drivers union. If you're a bus driver out there, regardless that your union will not support the bus riders union, even though we support them. Luckily, there's one thing. Maria Elena Durazo, the head of the County Federation of Labor, has just sent a letter to the MTA board opposing the fare increases. So we need union members to go to the MTA board and say that they're against the fare increase. But it's not the price of compressed natural gas. It's not the price that the workers want to raise. There is money in the budget. For instance, do you know that when you go to the store and they pay 8.5 cents sales, 8% sales tax, do you know that over a penny of that goes to the MTA?
No, I did not know.
So when you go to 7-Eleven or whatever it is, and if there's eight of the 8 cents on a dollar, or the 80 cents on $10, or $8 on $100, the MTA gets one out of those 8 cents to support it. It also gets federal money, and then it gets a certain amount of money from what they call the fare box, what you pay. What we're saying is we don't want to support the MTA through the fare box. We're already paying taxes to give the MTA money. So the answer is we want lower fares, stop the rail, give the drivers a raise, and get off our back. Okay?
I'm glad you explained it. It's a lot clearer now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lynn, and thank you for the question. I'm going to talk to John in Los Angeles. John, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, man. I'm back in Los Angeles now. I know I've been gone for a while.
We missed you. Where you been?
In Valencia.
Okay.
And I just want to make some quick points because I know a lot of people are on the line.
Thank you.
I'd like to put a plug in for the student union of Watts about digging into the history. What a lot of people don't know also is the Native Americans, when the settlers come in, a lot of them took Latin names because they didn't want to be assassinated.
Yeah.
That's a true fact. But I guess about 99% of the people don't know that.
Also, a lot of Native Americans are black. But
yeah.
but besides that, where do you want to go? Let's talk about Watts, and let's talk about the.
Okay, that's all I want to say about Watts. I really respect those young people, and I'm glad you talked about the expenses about the MTA, and I guess they're going to make some money off of these new buildings that they're putting up too.
That's right. We call it the Taj Mahal. If you go there on the day of the event, you'll see a beautiful high Art Deco marble building that you'd think is maybe a king's mansion, but no, it's the MTA office building taking on money. They should, if they want to, start chipping off a couple of blocks off the building and pay for the fare increase that way. So thank you, brother. It's very nice to have.
And their new buildings, they're going to make money off of those too.
Sounds good. We're going to talk to Richard. Thank you for calling. This is Eric Mann. You're on KPFK. 90.7 FM, Voices from the Front Lines.
Hey,
keep
Richard.
Calling in. Hey, Richard, what's happening?
Yeah, listen, Eric, I just had an idea about your 59-second timing thing.
Okay.
That if you could put together, instead of having everybody get up there and say the same thing in 59 seconds or 55, why don't you get a contiguous statement, you know, that can be read by, say, 10 people that will cover a 10-minute period that will be comprehensive, you know? So everybody can read a certain portion of this so it has some sense and some continuity.
Well, that's pretty brilliant.
I don't know if you have enough time to do that.
We know we could do that in the middle of the night. Let me tell you a little bit. That's a great idea. I love when people actually come up with some organizing idea, but let me respond to it because we have played this art form out, okay?
Yeah.
The first thing is we write a script. We collectively write a script. It's not one statement, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bunch of artists in an ensemble cast. And we think through. So somebody is going to talk, like if you listen to the brother from East L.A., what he just said about, I go to work, I have to give my wife the car. There's a myth that the so-called transit dependent don't have cars. The transit dependent just don't have enough cars in L.A. that every six people got six cars.
Yeah.
So even in one family, right, he gives his fiancée the car to pick up his kid, and he's transit dependent. So we live in a crazy world where you go out on the freeway, you know, a million cars with a million people in it, not even. So we're going to have one person talk about what it's like to be Latino, one person talk about what it's like to be black, one person talking about the fare increase, one person talking about why rail is crazy, one person talking about why we need a $42 pass, not a $52 pass, one person talking about why we sued the MTA in 1994 and 1996 for raising the fare, and why we're going to sue them again if they raise the fare. We're going to have lawyers from the Natural Resources Defense Council there. We're going to have lawyers from the Howery Law Firm there. We're going to bring our lawyers, our big, expensive, high-priced, no, they're really great lawyers working pro bono for us. So what we're saying is that what you're right about is if you're trying to fight the enemy, you can't just have a bunch of spontaneous people getting up and crying. First of all, we don't do any crying.
That's right.
We don't do any, woe is me, please don't do this. No, no, no. We say, look, I hate this. What you're doing is racially discriminatory, parenthesis, racist. Are you calling me a racist? Sir, we're calling you the policy racist. If you raise the fare, it is racist. So what I'm saying is, you raised a very good point. I'm just saying we do it a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of having 59-second performance pieces that are coordinated into the fabric of a quilt so that it creates a coherent message and not a random, disassociated message is the core of what you're proposing and the core of what we're going to do. Okay?
Excellent.
So thank you so much. That was really very helpful. I'm going to move on. Who do I got? I got a Robert in Riverside. Can I talk to Robert? Hey, Robert, you got good reviews. Do you have anything good to say?
Actually, I hope I do. I just have a comment.
Sure.
The children, I would like to say that I know the school system is biased towards to benefit the rich or the, I don't know, the more up, middle to upper classes. And I would like to say much support to the students in Watts. And I think that these matters go hand in hand because, to me, the same people who want to quell the students' efforts by not letting them organize are the same people on the board, which I've seen on television. They do not let them speak. They're the same people. So if we fight the oppression in schools and we give support to those students, which I am giving, I think in time these students will grow up and be members on the board and fight for their class, the minority over there. You know, I know that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You said it well. And
nervous. Sorry.
No, don't be nervous, brother. This is your show.
And one more thing I would like to, about the principal, that is not right how he just ignores them without ignoring them. I would like to say to make him responsible for representing the minority which he was elected to represent, you know? And that is it. I would like to say you guys have my love and keep it going. And nice radio station. I love it very much.
Well, thank you very much. And I just say before we go to our last call, that the question of the repression right now, the question that the students are just saying, not casually, but just taking for granted, well, we're in the, you know, we've been made illegal. A young man, you know, such a brilliant young man, Vicente, ends up being suspended. The principal, a black principal, I'm sorry to say, says to him basically, I want everything to go through me. No, you don't everything go through you. So we're going to keep the heat on Jordan High School. We're going to keep the heat on supporting the Watts Student Union and supporting the Bus Riders Union. If you don't organize, you got no hope. If you don't have an organization, you just got an opinion. an opinion is irrelevant in a capitalist society. Without power, you have no opinion. So, okay, given that, who's got the last two opinions? Jim, kind of short if it's okay, and Louise, no, Jim, we're going to get you in. I think you're going to be the last one.
Hey, are you talking to me?
Yes, I am. Are you talking to me? Yeah, Jim, I'm talking to you, man. Talk to me.
All right, here's my deal. The fare increase may be racist, and it may not, but we need to attack this as a purely economic issue. Like, this is could be a great turning point. Now, with the gas prices as high as they are, a lot of drivers are going to start, as myself, are going to start using the MTA for economic reasons. Now, there's a lot of other reasons to use the MTA, but if all of a sudden it's back up to $5 and then up to $8, there goes the incentive. So we need to, I personally think we need to look at this like, hey, man, it's an economy of scale. If you get a ton more people riding each day at the $3 fare, it's gonna be economically viable. But if you start hiking up the fares, then people are gonna say, "Oh, okay, well, it's $5. Screw it."
That's right. Absolutely. Let me just see if this makes sense to you. That when we say something is racist, we also think it's sexist. We also think it's classist. In other words, if you're a black working class woman and they raise your bus fare, it's an attack on you in every aspect of your life. But we think in the society race is the category, that's the view on Voices from the Frontline, that best explains class and that best explains gender. Not explains it by substituting for it, but that situates it. So absolutely,
well,
just wait. So what we're saying is, if you want to get up and testify at the MTA that this is an attack on working class people, we agree with that. If you say it's an economic attack on the poor, we agree with that. If you say it's an attack on women, 60% of whom are the main riders at the MTA, we agree with that. So the main thing is show up on Thursday, May 24th. And listen, this was a pleasure for this show. I want to thank, first of all, our callers. Our callers are cool. The folks who call into Voices from the Front Lines, don't be nervous. This is your show. You're doing a really good job. So we're going to go out with some music, and I'll tell you some thank yous. I want to thank Diamond, Ana Lilia, and Vicente from the Watts Student Union at Jordan High School. You're listening to Voices from the Front Lines on KPFK 90.7 and 98.7 in Santa Barbara. I'm Eric Mann. I want to thank Maggie Lapique. Great to have you back. I want to thank Alan Lipsky, who's just great and who is doing his stuff. I want to thank Lisa Adler for getting the show together and getting me out the door. I want to thank all the friends at the Strategy Center and Bus Riders Union. Up next is Susie Wiseman doing her own thing. And don't leave. We're part of a continuity. See you next Monday, folks.